free from your burden of sin. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Amen and good morning, GBF. It's good to see all of you here today. We're going to get back into the book of Acts this morning. Let me just say welcome if you're a guest here. There's a place in the bulletin that says, Welcome to Grace Bible Fellowship. If you'll take a moment and fill that out, you can tear that part off. Is anybody listening to me at all? Or am I just up here talking to myself? Anyway, if you're a guest, there's a place you can fill out. Put that in, tear it off, and put it in the little offering box back there by the double doors. And that lets us know who was here worshiping the Lord with us today. Well, it's exciting to see all of you here. Did anybody get any rain? Some people were texting me going, how much rain did you get? And I was like, dude, I think I'm the only person in and around Hyco with no rain gauge. All I know is I got a lot of rain. So anyway, and I want you just to take a moment and thank God for all the blessings in your life. Thank Him for all the ways that He's blessed you. Even ask Him if He would just remind you of all the ways that He's blessed you in this life. What I want you to do is, in this kind of moment of prayer, is say, Lord, I want to take everything that's going on in my life, the good, the bad, the painful, the hurtful, maybe even the busy. I want to take everything that's going on in my life, and right now, for the next hour, I just want to lay it at your feet. I want to lay it at your feet, and for the next hour, I just want to love my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's worship. I want to worship, and I pray, Lord, even as I sing these songs, maybe songs that I've heard 100 times, that I wouldn't just sing the words to these songs, but that I would mean the words from my heart. And I pray, Lord, that today you would show me from your word what you want me to hear, what you want me to understand and apply to my life. And I pray, Lord, this morning that more than I ask a blessing from you, that I would be a blessing to you as I worship you in spirit and in truth this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we thank you for the rain. And while that's huge in our lives, you can supply that anytime you want, at any moment you want. But what is even more significant is how you provided a Savior for each and every one of us through your only Son, Jesus Christ, who would die on the cross, take all of our sins upon himself, die on a cross so that we could be set free, so that we could be set free from sin, so that we could be set free from death and have eternal life. And once again, come back into an intimate relationship with you where sin had separated us from that. But because of Jesus' sacrifice, we can once again come back into so much of an infinite or intimate relationship with you that you call us friends, you call us your children, you call us the body of Christ. And we thank you, Lord, also for the gift of the Holy Spirit that resides in every believer who has put their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And again, Lord, we pray that we turn everything in our minds and our hearts towards bringing you glory, bringing you honor, and truly, truly worshiping you in this service today. And we pray that you would truly be blessed and that you would be glorified through us as we worship you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I now can see, perfect present cleansing in the blood for me. Standing in the liberty where Christ makes free. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I cannot fail. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing on the promises of God. I count on one thing, the same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now, and in the waiting, the same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh, yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh, yes, I will. I count on one thing, the same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now, and in the waiting, the same God is never late, is working all things out. You're working all things out. Oh yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh, yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh, yes, I will for all my days. Oh, yes, I will, and I choose to pray. Stand against, and I choose your praise to glorify, glorify the name of all names. And nothing can stand against. Oh yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh yes, joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh yes, I will for all my days. Oh yes, I will for all my days. Yes, I will. Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. 'Cause Jesus paid it all to him my own. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him my own. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed Jesus died, my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him my own. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as stone. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. Praise the one who paid my debt and raises the life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raises the life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raises the life up from the dead. Praise the one who paid my debt and raises the life up from the dead. We'll praise the one who paid my debt and raises the life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raises the life up from the dead. Jesus, oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised us alive up from the dead. Jesus alive, up from the dead. We'll praise the one who paid my debt and raise us alive, up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raise us alive, up from the dead.
Father, we thank you that we do not have to wait for Christmas or Easter or any other holiday to come around, that we can come here and fellowship together as fellow believers and fellow children of God and celebrate what you have done for us, the plan that you arranged, not because we deserve it, but because of your unfailing love to us. God, you delight in loving us and forgiving us, and we cannot understand it. But we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for the blessings that you pour down on us when all we deserve is damnation. But you made a way. You sent your one and only Son to the cross to pay our penalty and to bleed for us. So I pray, Father, as we sit here and we soak in your word, that would be the lens we see things through, that everything we do would not be because we feel like we have to, because that's the Christian thing for the week, but that we would do it with gratitude as a response to what Jesus has done for us. So Father, give us ears to hear as always this morning. Show us where we need to apply these words in our individual lives and as a church body. And let us walk in your strength this week, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen, thank you, Matt. All right, we're gonna be in Acts chapter 1. We're looking at verse 15 through 26. I've entitled this sermon, United in Prayer. It's really important to see what the apostles and the disciples do here. And you may remember from verse 14, it says in verse 14, these all were with one mind and were continually devoting themselves to prayer. Amen? We talked about that last time before Easter Sunday. Now, I've been married to Andrea for 34 years. Come May 11th. And she's been my best friend. She's been my closest companion. She's been my counselor. She's been my accountability partner and my prayer partner for over half my life now. In fact, we don't hardly make a decision, even small ones, without first coming together and praying about it. And our kids just know that's the way it runs at our house. In fact, it's so much so and so important in our home that all three of my kids, now that are gone, call and say, "Dad, can you pray for me?" And it could be about something that's going on in a relationship, all the way down to, "I can't find my keys." We pray about everything in the Irvin household because we believe God's sovereign. We believe he's in charge of our lives. And so I love that. And one of the things that my kids have seen and my wife has seen is, don't push Chris. He's praying about it. He's not going to move. He's not going to make a decision until he hears from the Lord. So we might as well just pray along with him. He's going to take his time, and he's going to wait on God. And sometimes we've waited for years on God. I remember when we wanted our own house and our own land. And we never prayed for a certain house. We never prayed for a certain amount of land. I just always thought it'd be cool to have around 68. I just had that kind of number in my head. And we prayed for 12 years that one day we could have, if it was God's will, we could have our own land and our own home. And then the next thing I knew, we were building a house on 62 acres. And so it's just the way it goes in our family. I'd rather wait on God than spend a whole bunch of money right now doing my own thing my own way. But that's one of the things that I love about our family. And it's so cool to see your kids calling back and asking you to pray, and just you get to see them walking with God, I think is one of the biggest accomplishments a man can have in his life, besides being a good husband and being a good dad and having a great marriage. I think one of the biggest accomplishments a man can have in his life is when his kids come back or call home and you see what God's doing in their lives. And so that's how it should be in the church. That's how it should be in church. In fact, we're going to see here in the book of Acts that the believers, especially the leaders in Christ's church, always sought God's leadership. They always sought the leadership of the Holy Spirit for the church of Christ through the Word of God and through prayer. Those two things. The Holy Spirit, we've talked about this, will always use the Word of God to guide you to the will of God, because the Word of God is the will of God. Amen? So when you're praying for something, the Holy Spirit, you need to be in the Word, because the Holy Spirit's always going to use the Word of God to show you the will of God. Now, you may remember, again, that verse 14 told us that all the disciples were continually united in prayer. And you see, prayer is the tool that God has given his children to communicate with him. Dr. Tony Evans says it this way. He says, prayer is our link between heaven and earth. The Holy Spirit uses it to deliver our request to heaven and to bring heaven's deliverance back down to earth to us. Their unity, speaking of the apostles and the other followers of Christ, their unity in prayer was critical for experiencing God's divine intervention. All right, Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 15. In those days, Peter stood among the brothers, a company of persons of about 120, and he said this, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us apostles and was allotted his share in this ministry with Jesus." Think about this for a minute. He was numbered among us. Jesus apostles, the closest 12 people to Jesus on the planet, and he was given the opportunity to share in this ministry. Now, this man, Judas, acquired a field with the reward money he received from the chief priest for his wickedness, for betraying Christ. And falling headlong after hanging himself, he burst open in the middle and all of his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field, called in their own language, was Akedama, that is, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, where David prayed, "May his camp, may his field become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it." The Jews weren't going to go anywhere near a field of blood. Amen? "And let no one dwell in it, and let another take his office." And so think about this with me for a second. Where is Peter getting this information? Where is he getting this wisdom from that they need to replace Judas? He's getting it from the Word of God, and he's getting it because they were continually devoted to the Lord in prayer, united in prayer, the Bible says. Verse 21. "So one of the men who accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John," where John actually baptized Jesus, "until the day was taken up, his ascension, one of these men must become a witness with us to his resurrection." And they put forward two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed, again, they prayed and said, "You, Lord, know the hearts of all men. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go his own will, go his own way to his own place." And so they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Last time ever in the Bible anybody cast lots to know the will of God. Verse 26. And we'll see why here in a moment. All right, look back at verses 15 through 18 for a moment. "In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers, the company of persons. There was about 120 of them in all, and he said, 'Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a betrayer, a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us, the apostles, and was allotted his share in this ministry. And now this man Judas has acquired a field with the reward money he received from the chief priests for his wickedness. And falling headlong after hanging himself, he burst open in the middle and all of his bowels gushed out." And there's a whole lot of speculation about how all that took place, and I'm not even going to share that with you. I don't want to say it, and you don't want to hear it. "So with 120 people present, Peter stands and addresses them all concerning Judas's betrayal of Jesus to the chief priest for money. Judas had been an apostle just like the other 11. He had shared in their ministry with Jesus, but," listen to this, "Judas was a wolf in sheep's clothing." He was a wolf in sheep's clothing, and Jesus knew it the whole time he was with them. In fact, Judas would also show his true colors when Mary anointed Jesus with the expensive perfume, and Judas angrily exclaimed, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" John chapter 12, verse 5. And then John continues in verse 6. "Now he said this, not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief, and he had the money box, and he used to pilfer from what was put into it." And yet, Judas was with Jesus all these years, listening to his teaching weekly, if not daily, for over 3 years. He heard all of the sermons, he listened to all of Christ's teachings, he heard the scriptures explained like never before in his life, he witnessed Jesus' miracles and shared in his ministry, yet his heart remained cold, and he threw it all away for 30 pieces of silver. Think about this with me for a minute. Driven by greed, driven by what this world can offer a man, Judas, who was chosen to be in Jesus Christ's inner circle of friends, one of the 12 apostles, blew the opportunity of a lifetime. He betrayed his Savior for 30 pieces of silver and then went out and hanged himself instead of confessing and repenting. And even though Jesus knew how crooked he was, he could have been forgiven. He could have been forgiven. He could have received eternal life, yet because of his greed and because of his self-centeredness, it was all about Judas and what Judas could get for himself, he sentenced himself to hell. And his pathetic life and death were foretold by David in the Psalms. Psalm 55 predicts his betrayal. Psalm 69 predicts his removal from his position as an apostle. And Psalm 109 predicts that he will be replaced by another. And in these Psalms, David prays and he asks for the removal and the replacement of this wicked man, which leads us to point number one in your notes, if you're taking notes this morning. Judas' life and death is a reminder to all of us of how every true believer needs to let the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, examine their motives, inspect the secret places of their lives, and then exercise true repentance. Now, when I was growing up, I had places that I hid things, and my parents never found them. But when I became a Christian, all those places had to be done away with. The carpet had to be pulled back up, and I had to take out what I'd put under the carpet in the closet. The things that were taped and stashed. I probably shouldn't be telling y'all, some of your kids, some of this stuff, so I'll skip over that part. But all the hiding places had to be done away with because now I was a Christian. And I'll never forget all of a sudden not being able to cheat in school, because I'd gotten saved and just started college and spent, now this, your kids, y'all need to listen up. I spent my junior high and high school years cheating in school and graduated with like a B-minus average. But I didn't know jack when I got to college. And I was years behind all the other freshmen at UTA. And every now and then, I'd get one of these slips of paper that would say, why don't you take a year off and rethink this deal and then come back and talk to us. And so all that had to be done away with, and on a regular basis, if you're a true believer, and I'm not, you know what I'm talking about. We talk about this all the time. Not somebody that just acknowledges God. Not somebody that just acknowledged, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. Well, you know what? I believe the speed limit was 55 and I never drove it when I was in high school. But you truly believe in your heart. And you know that you believe it in your heart because it changes the way you live your life. That's how you know you believe something in your heart. And the Bible says, if a man confesses with his mouth that Jesus is Lord and believes in his heart that Jesus has been raised from the dead, he will be saved. And so you go from believing in your head to believing in your heart. Those of us that believe in our hearts, that are true believers, we need to allow the Holy Spirit through the Word of God to examine our motives. I do this every morning. Every morning. Allow the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, and I ask him to do this. Examine my motives and show me any secret places in my life that needs to be dealt with, meaning it needs to go away. And help me to exercise true repentance. In other words, turn away from the sin, God, and turn back to you. And here's the scary thing, and this is why I'm saying what I'm saying. None of us, listen to this, none of us are above giving the things of this world preeminence over our relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Judas did. How many of us have ever been tempted to trade worldly wealth for eternal blessings? Anybody but me? Therefore, we hit a time in close communication with the Holy Spirit, allowing him to humble us and show us where we need to repent. C.S. Lewis says it this way. The real problem, and this is in your notes, by the way. The real problem of the Christian life comes where people do not usually look for it. It comes the very moment you wake up each morning. All your wishes and hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. And the first job each morning should consist of simply shoving them back and listening to the voice of God, taking his point of view and letting it flow in while standing back from your usual fussing and fretting. We can only do it for moments at first, but from those moments, the new life, the life of Christ, will begin to spread through your system, because now you're letting him work in the right part of you. It's the difference between applying paint that just covers the surface and dye which soaks right through where God meant for it to soak through. God meant for you and I to go all in for the full treatment. Imagine an egg trying to fly if it always just remained an egg. Now you got to think about that for a minute. C.S. Lewis, man, you got to think about that. What if an egg never turned into a bird? Would it ever fly? Imagine an egg trying to fly if it just remained an egg. And that's like people who call themselves Christian that just constantly struggle in their walk with God because they're remaining an egg. They're not letting Jesus Christ transform their hearts and their lives. And because of that, they never learn to fly. But the Bible says they who wait on the Lord. Has it ever amazed you how many times the Bible says we need to wait? I mean, constant. Wait, 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 wait. Some of us hate to wait. It drives us insane to wait. My dad used to say, I have ants in my pants. I can't wait. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. And they shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. And yet it's truly amazing to think about how Judas could continue to remain an egg, continue to serve himself, and in so doing, serve Satan, although he probably didn't recognize that or admit it, while spending 3 years that close to Jesus. And it's a sobering reminder that even the people, listen to this, even the people that you and I might choose for ministry could really be sheep in wolves' clothing. And yet Judas's betrayal, listen to this, was all part of God's sovereign plan. It was all part of God's sovereign plan for Jesus, and it was all part of God's sovereign plan for you and me. Amen? And so Peter quoted King David in Psalm 109 when he said, "Let another take his office." Look back at verses 20 through 22. "For it is written in the book of Psalms, may his camp become desolate, and let there be no one dwell in it, and let another take his office." So one of the men who have accompanied us during all of this time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with his baptism from John until the day he ascended to heaven and was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection. Point number one. Judas' life and death is a reminder of how every true believer needs to let the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God and through prayer, examine their motives, inspect the secret places of their lives, and then exercise true repentance. And number two, just as the Lord ordained the 12 sons of Jacob to be the foundation of the 12 tribes of Israel that would become God's Old Testament people, the Lord had also ordained 12 apostles to be the foundation of his church, God's New Testament people. And so Peter knew from the scriptures that there had to be 12 apostles. And he quoted the Psalms that said there would be a replacement to take Judas' place. And this new apostle needed to have been with them throughout Jesus' entire ministry, from his baptism to his ascension, and have witnessed his resurrection. And the apostle Paul would later point out just how crucial the resurrection is to our faith. He said in 1 Corinthians 15, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and then he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." And then he says this, listen to this. This is verse 17, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless." If Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless and you are still in your sins. Think about it. Without the resurrection, we would have no confidence that Christ has authority, power, and victory over sin and death, would we? Without the resurrection, we'd have no confidence that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God interceding for you and I right now, would we? Without the resurrection, we could have no confidence that Jesus will come again and take us home to be with him in heaven. Look at verse 23. "And they put forward two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justice, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, 'You, Lord, who know the hearts of all men, show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place.' And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell to Matthias, and he was numbered among the 11 apostles." And so again, the disciples prayed. Again, they prayed before they acted. They prayed, and then they waited. They waited in that place until he had a word from the Lord, which leads us to point number three this morning. Number one, Judas' life and death is a reminder of how every true believer, especially those who claim to be leaders, need to let the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, examine their motives, inspect their secret places, and then exercise true repentance. And these are all the areas that Judas failed in his life. Number two, just as the Lord ordained the 12 sons of Jacob to be the foundation of the 12 tribes of Israel that would be God's Old Testament people, the Lord also ordained 12 apostles to be the foundation of his church, God's New Testament people. And number three, the apostles prayed and acknowledged their faith in God's sovereignty and their own lack of wisdom to make the right decision. Put another way, in their prayer, they recognized and admitted that God knew all things and they did not. Are you serious, Chris? I don't know all things? That's what these guys recognized and admitted in their prayer. God, you know all things and I don't. And by seeking God first, listen to this. By seeking God first, they would set the standard for how all church decisions should be made from then on. By praying first, they were humbly surrendering the decision to God and acknowledging that he alone, as the head of his church, had the right to decide. Join me, if you will, for a prayer of submission. Lord Jesus, and you can follow along in your notes. Lord Jesus, I confess and repent for all the times I've made decisions without first and foremost humbly seeking your guidance and waiting to hear from you and then submitting to your authority. You alone have the sovereignty, you alone have the authority, and you alone have the wisdom to decide for your people. In Christ's name, amen. In closing, I want to say this. Believers should make decisions based on the Spirit's leading according to the Word of God. How do you know that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you? It will always agree with the Word of God. Always. The Holy Spirit will always use the Word of God to show you the will of God. That's how you know when God is speaking to you. And by seeking God first, they set the standard. If the Holy Spirit leads you in anything, if the Holy Spirit leads you anywhere, it will always be in agreement with God's will for your life. And it will always be in agreement with God's word for your life. Now, again, this is super important, what I'm about to tell you. Oftentimes in the Old Testament, people would cast lots. They would make markings on rocks, and they would cast lots after praying and seeking God. They would cast these lots on the ground to determine the will of God. But again, this never happened after verse 26 in Acts chapter 1. Because in chapter 2, the Holy Spirit would come and would baptize believers. He would take up residence in the lives of believers. And as the Holy Spirit of Jesus lived in them, he would direct their decisions in agreement with and according to the Word of God, who the Bible says is Jesus Christ himself. John chapter 1. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit that lives in us, that leads and guides for us. We thank you for your son that died for us and now sits on the throne at your right hand interceding for us, praying for us. And we just thank you and praise you for how much you love us and how much you care for us, that you've done all these things to bring us back into a relationship with you through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, you may be here today or you may be watching today and you would like to believe the gospel message is basically the story of Jesus. You would like to believe the gospel message of how you can be saved from sin and death by trusting in Jesus' sacrifice on the cross on your behalf and his resurrection from the dead on your behalf. And you believe the truth about your sin and how it separates you from a holy God. The word holy means to be completely set apart. And so maybe today God has shown you your need to be saved, to surrender your life to him, to quit playing God and running your own life and surrendering your life to him. Because God came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ to live a perfect life, which made him the perfect payment for your sins. And when Jesus died on the cross, he took all of your sins upon himself and he died in your place so that you could be set free. So maybe today you'd like to quit struggling through life and accept God's free gift of eternal life by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, for the forgiveness of your sins. And if so, you might want to repeat a prayer somewhat like this. Again, these are not magic words. The only thing that matters to God is, do you mean it in your heart? Lord Jesus, I realize that you are God in the flesh. I realize that you are the Son of God and you are the only Savior of this world. And today I want to trust in you and your sacrifice on the cross and your resurrection from the dead for my salvation. And I confess to you that I'm a sinner in need of your mercy and your forgiveness. And so today I'm asking you for your mercy and your forgiveness, for your power so that I can turn away from my sins, for your grace so that I can submit to your authority. And forgive me for playing God and trying to run my own life all this time. Forgive me for rejecting you. And forgive me for buying into Satan's lie, just like Judas did, that somehow I'm missing out if I follow you. I'm ready for the abundant life that only you can provide. I'm ready for you to be my Lord and be my Savior. And I'm ready to start living for you and proclaiming your message of salvation to everyone in my world. Thank you for loving me enough to die for me, to save me from my sins, and to make me a child of God. Please empower me to properly represent you and your kingdom agenda from here on out by the way you live your life through me. I pray all these things in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Friend, if you just prayed that prayer, whether you're watching online or whether you're here with us today, the Bible says now you're a child of God. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it in your heart, the Bible says now all of your sins have been forgiven, wiped, your slate is wiped clean as far as God's concerned, and now you've been brought back into a relationship with Him because you put your faith in His Son and His only Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Bible says you have eternal life. And so Matt is going to lead us in our closing song. I'll be at the front worshiping along with you. If you'd like for me to pray with you, for you, you join me up here at the front. Matt, lead us, please, sir.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. Working in this place, I worship you, I worship you. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship. Worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are.
just keep a light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. 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 Even when I don't see it, you work. Even when I don't feel it, you working. You never stop, you never stop working. Never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop, you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Be seated real quick. Hopefully my wife's in here. There she is. Come on down. This is my best friend in the whole world right here. 30 for 11th, right? Amen. I got it right. Let me share a few things with you, and then I'm going to let her share something with you. She's going to bring these kids up here. Today's the dessert auction, and she's going to give you instructions for that here in just a second. And then also, May 1st is National Day of Prayer. We'll be doing it in the park right across the street. If it rains, we always just come in here. So anyway, if you'd like to be part of that, we'd love for you to be part of that. And also today, it says VBS curriculum and volunteer packets in the summit after worship, okay? I don't think anybody's listening. They're looking at all these children up here. So why don't you go ahead?
I wanted to bring all these beautiful boys and girls, my best friends, up here today because this is where your investment goes. This here is the future of our church. And it is a fun week when we go and we do camp. We just have a great time. And so all of these boys and girls and several youth out there have made desserts, and we are excited. How many of you guys actually made the dessert? Okay. How many of you guys encouraged your mom while she made the dessert? Everybody? Okay. Well, there are some lovely, lovely desserts. And so we will have those. The auction will begin just as soon as we leave. It's a silent auction. I'll start my timer for 30 minutes. I'll give a final countdown, And the ladies are putting more tables out. We have so many. I bet we probably have 75 desserts over there. So everyone needs to leave with a dessert today. And there's also, if you can't stay and you just want to yet make a donation, I told these boys and girls our family is very good to help support them to go to church, and we're super thankful for that. I've said it before, but, you know, some of these families have several in youth and children, and it's between $350 and $400 a camper. And so that's a lot of money for church camp. But so we do this. We will be taking donations. There's a donation, the teddy bear, you can feed the bear, is on the back table and on the end table over here. There is my Venmo if you just want to Venmo something. Then afterwards, as soon as we call it, you'll just grab your bid sheet and come over here. We'll have several people taking money, and you can grab your dessert and go home and enjoy it. So lots of good things. Anyway, all right, Pastor Chris, there he is. All right, that is all. Why don't you guys quietly go over by your desserts, okay? Just quietly go over there.
Let me just say, too, just thank you to GBF, because for 15 years, we have done an amazing job of sending every kid that wants to go, child or teenager, to camp, okay? And we've done an amazing job of that, and so thank you very much. All right, let's stand, and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this beautiful weather. Thank you for all the rain. And more importantly, thank you for all these children and all these teenagers that are fixing to be going to camp in June. And Lord, we just, again, thank you for your provision in every area of our church, from the new land and the new building going up out there on Highway 6 all the way down to children's camp and youth camp. And we thank you and we praise you. And Lord, may we continue the rest of the week in building and furthering your kingdom for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.